Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the King Size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.
Oh, what a day. Finally, spring has arrived. 25 degrees in Melbourne, the expected top. It's Caulfield Cup Day and we are absolutely packed for the next 3 hours. The coach of the Socceroos, who's got a ripping new book called Changing the Game, Ange Postecoglou, is set to join us. Andrew McDonald, the coach of the Bushrangers. James McDonald, leading jockey. Greg Rust, the Howie Games getter on iTunes. You can check out an exclusive with Dean Jones this week. Chris Golding from the basketball team at Melbourne United.
CG43.
So much to get through. And the big man has wandered in looking absolutely fantastic. Hello, Brendan.
G'day, mate. Obviously, you're heading out to Caulfield today to serve everyone some drinks.
Yes, I haven't got the thongs on today. I'm very uncomfortable.
You look like a waiter.
Well, and I feel like a knob, but I always do when I wear a suit. But that's a story for another day. So much trade talk. But next, you've come in and said you're about to deliver a bombshell on the trade table. Information's that no one else has got relating to a very, very high-profile player, yes?
It's very similar to Hife walking into a club with all his mates and then just little smoke bomb, just dropping it and then steamrolling
out
of there.
Well, from what you've told me, it's not a little smoke bomb. It's a big one that is about to erupt. That is coming next. A Fevelenko exclusive, 38 episodes in, and he's bringing something to the table. Dead Set Legends, Triple M. Dead Set Legends, Triple M, sun shining in Melbourne. Howie and Fev, you wandered in this morning, big man, and said, just clear segment one for me because I've got a big, big breaking story.
That never happened.
Okay, so I over-exaggerated slightly. But what you're about to say has certainly raised my eyebrows. A big story all week. Sam Mitchell has gone to the Hawks, and the current story relates to Jordan Lewis, who was almost putting pen to paper at Melbourne. Then that's sort of been put on hold. You've got an update for me.
Yes, Howie.
A big update for me.
What a we always say what a big week in football it's been, but how much has the year changed? This time last year, the Hawks were three-time premiership club, and now they're in turmoil.
So I'm not sure about turmoil, but anyway.
They're in turmoil, and this is coming from someone very, very bunkered down in Hawthorne. Knows a lot about the list,
right?
Knows a lot about the coaching staff. And Jordan Lewis did go to Melbourne. Deal was nearly done. Melbourne were a bit unsure about how it was going to turn out because they didn't know if it was real or not. And now it's obviously come out in the media. So they're making a massive play for Jordan Lewis. He's 100% going to leave. Doesn't want to be at Hawthorn. They've taken, him particularly, has taken a $100,000 pay cut for the last 3 or 4 years to keep everyone under the cap. With Tom Mitchell coming over for around $650,000, O'Meara $450,000, and Ty Vickery, your favourite player, $500,000. These blokes are well under that pay. And Hawthorne,
how much are O'Meara? O'Meara
$450,000.
Surely he's getting more than that when he comes.
No, it's around $450,000 for the first year.
Okay,
so
then it'll be
back paid.
Okay.
So Hawthorne can pour cold water all over this if they want to, but this is 100%. Jordan Lewis is filthy. Their best mates, him and Mitchell. Clarko thought they were going to lose one, maybe, because they obviously get. And Mitchell didn't want to go. They put him an offer and said, mate, if you go here, this is what you're going to get. So he's obviously gone, yeah, I'm old. I'll take that to look after myself and my family, which is fair enough. Obviously, a lot of backlash from Hawthorn supporters, as there should be, won the BNF. But for mine, Lewis is a big loss. He's a big loss for them.
Hang on.
He thought he was going to be captain. He thought, because Hodge is stepping down
as
captain.
But Lewis is not going anywhere. What are you trying to tell me?
He's 100% going. He thought he was getting a call to say you're going to be the captain of the football club next year.
What are you telling me about Jordan Lewis?
He's going to Melbourne. 100%.
Jordan Lewis is going to Melbourne.
100%. It'll happen next week. He told them, I think, last night.
This is what your information is telling you. What happened last night?
His manager went to Hawthorn and said, get the deal done ASAP.
So you're telling me right now that, hang on, you're telling me right now that next year Jordan Lewis 100% will be playing for the Melbourne Football
Club.
He'll
be kicking it down Jesse Hogan's throat. He thought he was getting the phone call to say you're going to be the captain next year. We want you to lead the Mighty Hawks in 2017, but it was a call to say we might be squeezing you out.
At the end of 2017.
And he said, I'm out now. I want out. I've taken a pay cut. You've got these blokes coming in. Goes against the whole mould that they've tried to build. And not happy man, not a happy camper.
So Fevers just told us on the Dead Set Legends that Jordan Lewis 100% will be playing for Melbourne next year, from what your sources tell you.
And my good mate Hodgie being very quiet when the captain of the footy club and all this is going on, haven't heard boo from Hodgie.
Yeah, Hawthorn fans have taken different views. And obviously, you know, I favour the Hawks. I don't mind it. I think Clarko's got that many runs on the board, and he's made that many decisions to the benefit of the football club. I think you have to back the coach in that's delivered four premierships. And I think,
but Howie, this is a decision. This is a decision that he didn't think was going to happen. He said one, happy for Mitchell to go, but Lewis goes as well.
But I'm talking about Mitchell at the moment. There's been a lot of backlash about that. I think at some stage you need to start looking to the future, and that's what he's done. It's a tough decision, but at the end of the day, however is it an easy decision to get rid of your champions? I think you don't have a right to play for any football club. It's an honour. Obviously, they've served that footy club very well. That club has served them very well. I think he's regenerating the list and looking towards the next premiership, which that, as a fan, that's what I want the coach to do.
Yeah, but they're still in the window, Howie.
Mitchell's
a five-time premiership. Won the BNF this year.
Okay. Do you think the Hawks, with their current list, without bringing in Mitchell, without bringing in O'Meara, and without bringing in Vickery, and keeping the current players, do you think they would have won the premiership next year?
They'd be thereabouts. You could say to Mitchell, hey, mate,
do you think they would have won the premiership next year?
They finished top four this year. Mm. Bring in Vickery, who could help out, get Ruffy back. Mitchell comes for less money. You say, mate, this is the mold we've got.
Yeah, but you can't bring in these blokes, Mitchell, O'Meara, without paying what you need to pay.
Yeah, but you pay them when the other blokes retire. That's how it gets done.
It's an interesting one. But nevertheless, you're telling me that Jordan Lewis is playing for the Melbourne Football Club next year.
Yes, he will be.
Wow, plenty more trade talk to come. Fev's dropped a bombshell on the Dead Set Legends. Chris Golding, your man, will join us next. A nice win for Melbourne United on the board in the National Basketball League. That's coming next.
This is what the Hawthorn blokes are singing to their club. Tear us apart.
Triple M. Fev, you know sometimes I get excited about guests. I'm very excited about our next guest. I read his book 3 days ago, and it's no doubt the best sports book I've read all year. Ange Postecoglou, written with Andy Harper, called Changing the Game. Ripper read. All about Ange's philosophies and approach to football and his passion for the game. Some would say obsession. He joins us on the line now. The coach of the Socceroos, Ange Postecoglou. G'day, Ange.
G'day, Harry. How are you, champ, mate? Very kind.
It's a ripping book. We had a little brief chat yesterday, and the word obsession came up, and you said, yep, that's pretty much what I have for the game.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I, to be fair, I can't really hide from it, because anyone who knows me, particularly those that are close to me, will say that it borders on nothing less than that. Something that started as, I guess, a love for a game has ended up something greater.
Fev's going to drill in deep Michael Parkinson style in a moment, Ange, but I just want to get a few things away first. The game a couple of nights ago at Etihad Stadium against the Blues Samurai, it was an interesting first half. They scored early. The boys looked a lot more comfortable in the second half.
Yeah, interesting is probably not the word I used.
I was being polite, Ange. It was crap the first half.
It was, mate. It wasn't great. We got off to a really poor start in terms of conceding the goal, and at that level, it kind of sets you back a bit. And they set up pretty defensively, made it hard for us, but we didn't react well to going down and started sort of chasing the scoreboard in that first half. But, I thought after half time we had a decent response, particularly in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes, got back into the game, and disappointed we couldn't close that off. But, look, we're still in decent shape.
Mm. Yeah, Ange, it's Fev here, mate. How are you going?
Good, Fev. How are you, mate?
That's good, mate. But that's happened the last couple of games that we've played. Our start's been horrific. What do you put that down to?
Yeah, look, it's kind of different away from home. I mean, the last game we conceded one early. They, you know, when you play away from home and they got the crowd behind them, you know, they started off hot, and we expected that when we play away from home, and we did concede early. But I mean, that was a decent goal we conceded away from home. But after that, we actually, you know, we dominated the game and probably should have closed it out. But at home, you don't want to give oppositions kind of a little bit of a gift, because you know that it, you know, kind of everything's in your advantage, and you don't want to give them any sort of belief. And unfortunately, we did. And as I said, we paid the price. But we fought back, and I guess, as I said, we still have decent shape.
And from a coaching perspective, it really interests me. The away from home, we see the West Australian teams come over here in the footy, they struggle. Vice versa, the Victorian teams go to the West. When our cricket teams go overseas, we really struggle, as do all international teams at the moment. And again, international football teams, when they're away, it's so much harder. As a coach, why is that? Is it a mentality thing? Is it a physical thing?
Yeah, well, it's a whole combination of things. I mean, I guess there's the parochialness of the crowds you face, and it's something that maybe, particularly say with the AFL now, has been diluted, particularly here in Melbourne, when you've got so many of the teams, they don't really have home grounds as such, maybe apart from Geelong. But when you travel away from home, just the parochialness of the crowd, the passion of the crowd, and then you've got to deal with the conditions as well, which usually are an extreme from what you're used to. And just being in a different country, there's different food, and it kind of just, you know, knocks you off whack a little bit. Now, we'd like to think that we've been on it for a while, so we should be pretty good at it, and our processes are. But there's no doubt that, you know, once you land, particularly when you land in a new country, there's just a little bit of uncertainty about everything, and it doesn't take much, you know, when you're talking about elite level. You're a couple of degrees off, and you know, you can't perform.
I think we're talking about degrees. When you're playing in Saudi Arabia, ooh, the heat there, geez, that's got to zap the players. You can't train. You can't really train for that when you're coming back and forth.
So how was the shirt going on the coach's back, too, in the post-game interview, Ange? Did you have a sweat on over there?
Not just the post-game interview, mate. Yeah, no, the whole game. and be fair, Fev's right. We hardly trained over here. I mean, we got the boys in, and literally they were like 45-minute sessions and just really getting the players used to, you know, this is what we're going to face tomorrow night at the game or whenever the game was, and really just getting them, trying to get them acclimatised. The reality of it is that the guys, the sports science nerds were kind of telling us, you know, we won't acclimatise in 2-3 days. It's just impossible.
Just make a big sauna and train in there.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it takes. And that's where you kind of take your hat off to the boys, and you can't be too critical because, like I said, we drew in Saudi Arabia, but the effort, the shift that they put in and the physical data we got out of it was quite enormous.
The book is called Ange Postecoglou, Changing the Game. As I said, it's the best sports book I've read all year. Ange is going to stick around after the break. We'll hear more from the great man and maybe a little bit about some of his fashion sense, Fev. Some of these pages we might have a look at and all sorts of other things, maybe a bit of footy as well, on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. If you get one Christmas present for someone this year, go out and buy the book Changing the Game by the coach of the Socceroos, Ange Postecoglou, alongside Andy Harper. Ange is still on the line. Some great photos in the book, Ange, especially of you as a sort of 18, 19-year-old wearing some outrageous type of clothing, Ange, with a pretty rude moustache as well.
Yeah, no, look, white shoes, you know, flared pants and a mullet were definitely the norm back then, mate. I was ahead of my time. And the thing is, I actually vetted those photos, and that was the best I could come up with. You can imagine what else is available. But,
wow.
No, interesting times, mate, interesting times.
Now, getting back to the world game, mate, I think you'd be pretty chuffed in where soccer's placed at the moment in Australia, and it's come a long way. You just opened up the Herald Sun today in Melbourne, and it's not, you know, you've got your footy, it's Caulfield Cup Day, but you've got Tim Cahill standing here, massive derby today against Melbourne City and Melbourne Victory. It's just everywhere. My kids go to school, my little daughters, and they're all playing soccer, all the boys and that at lunchtime. It's come a long way.
Yeah, that's a big change, Fev. I mean, I kind of explained in the book, you know, when I was probably your kids' age, you know, I love the game, but for me to... You know, I used to buy the Sun back then, as it was called, before the Herald Sun, and literally the soccer stuff was next to the funeral notices. It was one page away, you know. That's how close the game was to actually carking it. So to see it now and the way it's going, and yeah, I think Tim Cahill coming this year has made a massive difference as well. It's, you know, again, I explained in the book that whenever the game's kind of made bold decisions like that and kind of made major league forwards, it's because... You know, people have been pretty brave in the way they've thought. And to bring Timmy now out, you know, he's still our most popular player, still at the top of his game. It's going to be a cracking derby. I'm looking forward to it. And we had a, you know, great start last week with 60-odd thousand in Sydney. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a big A-League season. As you said, you know, boys and girls are slowly falling in love with the game, which is great.
It is, mate. And you just touched on Timmy Cahill there, and he has come back to Australia. But if... any sport in the world would want an ambassador or someone for kids to look up to, Timmy Cahill would be the first person picked in any side, I would have thought. He just brings so much to the game. I love watching him play. I was rapt on the weekend when you put him on the pitch, and the crowd do love him.
Yeah, no, he is good for him. Like I said, he is a role model. I mean, if you look at it, he's his whole career. He's had very, very humble beginnings. Little boy born in Samoa, and he talks about it. His mum and dad had it really tough, and literally packed him off as a 15, 16-year-old to go across halfway across the world, not to an exotic location. Yeah, well, but to Millwall in England. Anyone's been to Millwall, you don't send your kids there because people trying to get out of Millwall. and he's gone there and he's fought for his life and he's fought for this dream. And I think the one thing he's realised is that he's got a massive responsibility with that. And he's going to value that, because he's seen the other side of it. And I was a big push for him to come back to the A-League, particularly now that he's still, playing good football. And I had no doubt it'd be a hit. So really looking forward to the season ahead, and I'm sure he'll play a big part.
Just before we let you go, Ange, you've been great with the time. And as I said, the book, Changing the Game by Ange Postecoglou, is an absolute beauty. Go and buy it right now. After Russia's taken care of and we qualify and we knock off maybe Brazil 3-2 in the World Cup final and you come home with the World Cup and the world is your oyster, Ange, and you can choose any football club on the planet to go and coach, who is it? Is it the team from Anfield?
Well, that would be the one. Although they're going all right at the moment. But yeah, look, if I had, if you asked me, as an 8-year-old sitting in my room with posters of Liverpool legends all over the walls, that was the dream one day. And, I ended up somehow coaching our national team. So who knows what's up ahead. I'm not going to curtail any sort of dreams I had. I think it's the one thing that's worked in my favour. I've kind of just kept doing what I'm doing and see where it takes me.
Well, as long as they don't see some of your fashion shots, you might get a chance. If they see these pictures on page 37, I'm not sure they're signing you up. Yeah. Ange, we appreciate your time.
It's fair to say how he's doing a bloody good job at it too.
He is a fantastic ambassador for the game. The book is called Changing the Game. And thanks for having a chat with us. Best of luck up against Thailand, which is the next hit out for the Socceroos.
Yeah, good on you, boys. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Ange.
Great to speak to the coach of the Socceroos.
Big Carlton man.
Yeah, big Carlton man. Grew up with his favourite athlete being Alex Jezalenko.
Yeah, and then he went to the best number 25.
On the Dead Set Legends on...
Evolution.
You just haven't said you're better than Jezalenko, have you?
Spell me. The Fevolution.
Oh, please.
Number one.
Get us out of this, Triple M. Caulfield Cup today, but Brendan, the countdown to the Amy Victoria Derby Day is on. Tickets are selling fast. The Rubens will be playing live there with a very, very nice band at the new playground at Flemington called The Park, which is very good. So check out flemington.com.au. Check out at Flemington VRC on social media for tickets and more information. And a man who will be set for a very big spring is one of the rising stars of the jockey world. In his name is James McDonald. He's on the line now. Hello, Jim.
How are you?
Great to speak to you. Disappointingly, you're not getting a ride in the Caulfield Cup today because the stewards found against you, which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a bit gut-wrenching anyway, but I would have been on one of the favourites, which is pretty hard to beat too in Scottish, so it's a bit disappointing, but that's what our industry is all about. We do the crime, you do the time.
How do you go watching when, as you said, I saw Scottish on the news last night and the foreman from Godolphin, who you're heavily involved in, was talking up its chances. Can you actually sit there and watch it knowing that you could have been on the horse?
Nah, I probably won't watch it. I'll just text a mate and just say, how did we get on? But I might go for a bit of a game of golf or something to fill in the time. And so hopefully you get a text message saying he did or didn't win. But at the end of the day, it's... I hope he does for the teams, the connections anyway.
Well, you won't be playing golf when it comes to Cox Plate time. Oh. It's Ali versus Foreman, Hartnell versus Winks. It's been linked to that sort of style matchup. Hartnell, which you'll be on the back of, is up against the great Winks, who is undefeated. About 3.20, I think, Hartnell. Winks, $1.90. What's its chances, mate? Do you think you can knock it off?
It's an exciting clash, isn't it? Looking forward to the race. Obviously, Huey and I are great mates as well, so it makes it all a bit interesting, and two great horses going to go at it. But I think my chances are good. Obviously, Winks is faultless to date, but as well as Hartnell, he's going in superb order, and can't wait for the clash. It should be good.
Mate, can we put a petition up for this race and just say all the other horses, take a back step, don't worry about racing, and just have you two guys just go bang.
Oh, match race.
One on match race,
Sea
one
biscuit
on one.
Style.
We don't want any interference, just go head to head.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, especially racing for $3 million. I'm bound to get second.
Yeah, you get second, you get the prize money. Don't worry about that. We'll split that. I reckon we should start something. I reckon we'll be on the money.
We could do that, actually. Maybe up a straight, though, it might be a bit interesting. I'll drag her out a fair way from home. But, no, it's obviously just not a two-horse race. We're going to have other competitors in the race.
Yeah, it's a two-horse race.
It's going to... Well, I hope it's like that.
We'll get the Cronulla.
We're speaking to James McDonald on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. He's heavily involved in the Springerby racing on the back of Hartnell in the Cox Plate. But, James, you've just spent some time this year racing for Godolphin, one of the biggest stables in the world at Royal Ascot. Must be an amazing experience racing over there as a young man out of New Zealand.
Yeah, it was brilliant. Really enjoyed my time. Had a good party afterwards, which was good. With Sale Croatia and... So that was a fantastic time as well. But my stint in England was brilliant. It was very successful. I had a great time, built up some great connections, and rode a few winners there. So it was all worthwhile.
Geez, it must be tough coming back to Australia when you've got your own butler, you've got people to carry your whip, your shoes in the Godolphin. That must just be amazing.
Yeah, it is a good time. helicopters to races, meetings, and all. Times are tough, mate.
did you meet the Queen at all over at Royal Ascot or not?
I didn't this time, but I have done in the past. But obviously, she's heavily involved in racing as well. But she loves her horses, and we get to meet her at Royal Ascot a couple of times down the track. But it was always a pleasant surprise to meet her.
Do they give you instructions as to how you approach her and what you call her and sort of the etiquette and the decorum required, James, or do you just roll up Dennis Lilly style and say g'day?
Nah, she's surrounded by bodyguards, but you couldn't say just rock up and say hello. But I was lucky enough to weasel my way in there and shake her hand. But very pleasant lady, and she obviously has a great interest in horse racing, and we're lucky enough to be in the industry where we can meet those kind of people.
We'd be silly not to ask one of the leading jockeys in Australia at the moment, our biggest race of the year that stops the nation, Melbourne Cup. A lot of international horses coming over. Do you reckon we can keep the cup in Australia, or is it going to go over the across the sea, mate?
Well, I have a feeling, boys. I've got a feeling. I reckon if Hartnell lines up, he's our man. He's our man.
Wow.
Well, I tell you what, I like how you've called it.
Heard it from the horse's mouth.
You are now, well, the jockey's mouth, but yes. You are now our official man on the Dead Set Legends. We will follow you throughout the spring. James McDonald, thanks for having a chat with us. Hopefully you have a good game of golf today and can't wait to see you in the Cox Plate, then moving forward to the Melbourne Cup.
Thanks, guys. Good to chat to you.
Yeah,
good luck on Hartnell, mate.
Lovely young man, isn't he?
He's our boy. He's given us a few tips there. Hartnell. What was it, Scottish today?
Yes. Well, he's not on. He just said Hartnell for the whole way through the spring.
Hartnell the whole way through.
Check out flemington.com.au or at FlemingtonVRC on social media. Get all your tickets, all your information. There's a big Melbourne Cup carnival coming up. Bev, finally, the cricket season is here. We're done with footy, and we need to find out exactly how things are going for the Vics. They've had a nice start to the Matador Cup under a new coach as well, who's a ripping fella. Andrew McDonald is the new coach of the Bushrangers. He joins us on the line now. Hello, Ronnie.
How are you, mate?
Oh, fantastic to speak to you. By gee, you didn't get much of a chance to settle in. You came straight back from the UK and then bang, straight into the main job.
Yeah, don't stand still, I suppose. Yeah, straight back into it, mate. So flew in from the UK and then a couple of days later head off to Perth to meet up with the group. And it's been enjoyable so far, mate.
Obviously, they're great to have the cricket back, mate, but you'll be coaching players that you played with. How do you go about that, changing that relationship? Because you can't really have the same relationship as a teammate as you do as a coach.
Yeah, oh, it's an interesting one. I did the same at Leicester as well. I had a little bit of crossover. I was a player there as well. And I think it's all about respect, Bev. I think if they respect you and you respect them, then the relationship is built upon that. And obviously, they're going to trust the information that I'm giving them. And as a coach, it's about improving people and putting in structures in place and making sure that the players buy into that, and so far so good. And I think it'll be a smooth transition for me back into Victoria.
Now, it's great to see our good mate. He probably one of the best party animals of all time, but now he's a vegan, doesn't eat meat and doesn't drink beer back on during the week and getting a wicket.
Oh, great to have Sids back. I assume you're talking about Sidsy there, but yeah. he's He's back on the comeback trail, and it was fantastic to have him available for Game 4, and we've got him available for Game 5 as well. So he's obviously building for bigger and greater things, but on the way there, you know, we can help him out. And he was ready to go the other day, and he bowled superbly well, and contributed as he always does.
Just for a viewer, it just seems, even when he's playing for Victoria, whether he's playing for the Stars, he just brings so much to excitement to the players, and especially when I'm watching. You just want him to just be bowling and him involved all the time.
Oh, he's a wholehearted competitor. I think that's what people relate to. He's in every contest. He gives it a crack through the good and the bad, and he's got great respect in the playing group, and the guys do lift around him. He's like one, I suppose, in football terms, one of those sort of spiritual leaders. And,
to
have him back in the side is a massive boost. Just even if he doesn't perform at the level, that sometimes he expects, because he's got high standards, the other guys grow around him.
We're speaking to Andrew McDonald, the Bush Rangers coach, on the Dead Set Legends. Ronnie, there was a story came out during the week that Maxi might have been attempting to go up to New South Wales, and I presume you just came in and said that's not happening.
Not exactly like that, yeah, but he was on the move. I got the phone call when I was actually in Derby. We were preparing for a four-day game, and there was a bit of murmurings that he was on the move, but great to have Maxi in and around the group, and he's a Victorian, and it's great to see him in Victorian colours this season, and we wouldn't probably want it any other way.
They just got the rope and just whipped it up like a cowboy and whipped it onto his ears. Just whipped it onto his ears. Jeez, he's got big ears, big flappers. Oh, Maxi, doesn't he?
Oh, dear me.
Hey, Cameron White, great to see him. Made 2 tons so far. He's a, an ex-captain. He's just a ripping bloke, and it's good to see him, doing well with the bat.
Oh, he's been fantastic. He's probably in a position that he hasn't done a lot for Victoria opening the batting, but he's pretty versatile, and he's shown that with, 2 magnificent 100s, and, he's putting his name right back in the forefront of, the Australian selectors' minds the way he's playing. I've been away for a few years, and to see how much he's improved, as a mature age player, has been sensational. And we know what he brings tactically and strategically around the group. And, he's had a great involvement helping a young captain, which was Peter Hanscom, for the first 4 games.
So you as a coach think that he's still good enough to play for Australia?
Oh, I think so. I think anyone is. I think age should be no barrier. And we've seen the great story of Chris Rogers. He started his test career back again at around 35 years of age or 34 years of age. So I don't think there's any limitation. If the body's good and sound and you're fit and available and you're in that sort of form, then you'd be mad not to. In particular on the back of losing Zip 5 to South Africa, there's going to be people who are under scrutiny at the next level. And if you can put your name up and you're in the right spot at the right time, I think anything's possible.
Hanscom, a test batsman?
Yep.
Yeah, good answer. I like that from the coach. Just bang yes. Just as we let you go,
yep.
You're also coaching the Melbourne Renegades for the first time in the upcoming Big Bash. You've signed Brad Hogg. Is there still another international spot available, or have you signed the second one? There was rumours you were after the old South African spinner, Tanvir, but that might have fallen through.
You've got good mail there, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, there is a spot still open. We're obviously got a month and a bit to sort of be able to fill that, and we're looking at the best possible candidates to fill that spot. So, we're on the hunt at the moment. So
another spinner, or...?
Yeah, maybe. I think structurally we wouldn't mind another spinner in the group. To find world-class spinners that are available can sometimes be difficult. So we're going through what it may look like for us at the moment. So if we can't find that, then obviously it'll be a different sort of player, different style of player, and we'll just guarantee we'll get someone of world-class that can contribute, and should be an exciting signing either way.
How he's sitting here really wrapped with himself. He's got some good mate. You work with the blokes on the TV.
Well,
of course you're going to have good
just
mail.
Just trying to bring it to the people. I tell you what, Ronnie.
My
leggies are coming out all right at the moment.
Oh, please.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Sillier things have happened, I suppose.
Not many. Well,
back 10 years ago, whenever it was.
Well, Sam Mitchell's gone to West Coast, so stranger things have happened. Ronnie, we appreciate your time. Best of luck. You take on New South Wales Blues tomorrow, and then we'll see you in the Sheffield Shield, in the Matador Cup, and then the Big Bash. Best of luck to you and all the Vics.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Good luck, mate. Go
Andrew
Vicks.
McDonald joining us on the Dead Set Legends on Triple M. Fev, check out a certain podcast called...
The Howie Games.
Get it on iTunes. Back issues. It deals in sport. We've talked about it before. Back issues. Adam Gilchrist, Danny Green, Brendan Favola. You were on it. Quite extraordinary. Darren Sammy, Dennis Cometti, Jack Jones, Larry and Jack Perkins. But this week's episode.
Deal number one. Yep.
Yeah, you are. You are still the most downloaded episode of the Howie Games. Dean Jones. I sat down with Dino probably about 3 months ago. Extraordinary man. He was a fellow when I grew up. I used to live in the country. And we used to catch the train down every time Australia was playing a one day and Dino was batting because he was a whole nother level. Were you a Dean Jones man?
Yes, we all were. And I can still remember being in Bay 13 when I was a young kid, yeah, and Dino hadn't played for a while. And they're still chanting, Dino, right, we love right. him because he's a Victorian. And he hadn't played. Like, they just loved him so much. And he's a big Carlton man. I've had a fair bit to do with Dino and done a few sporties with him as well. And always talks about his 8,000 he made in India. And
210. He goes into that. His first ever innings, he was telling me, was out in the under 12s, out in the eastern suburbs. And he remembered the conditions, the temperature, the state of the pitch, and he also remembered he got caught a third ball for a duck. He's got a
photographic memory.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Did he talk? Did he go into his exit from Australian cricket at all?
Yeah, he did.
He did.
And he talks about that. He basically said it came down to having one bad session in the nets. And Bobby Simpson looked at that session and said, no, we're going to pick Damien Martin. He goes into it. It's an extraordinary story. Amongst the other stories, Dino came up in the 80s when cricket was cricket. And it was a hard man's game. So he was first picked to play for Victoria alongside Simon O'Donnell and Merv Hughes in the same game. And a few of the older boys had been moved aside. And it was at the Wacker facing Dennis Lilly. Dino takes up the story here about his debut for Victoria.
Anyway, I'm 38 not out. I'm put down my back quietly and I'm amongst a new environment, so I'm really quiet as a church mouse. And Ray Bright says, everyone get a beer. So they all got a beer, and I said, I want to raise a glass to Dino. I thought, gee, that's a real nice touch, you know. He said, you are the worst Victorian batsman I've ever seen play for Victoria. And everyone laughed at me. So
that was your initiation into Victoria?
That was my initiation in Victorian cricket. Yeah, so...
So what do you say in that situation?
So nothing.
I can see now it's still taking you back
bloody
there.
It does. Yeah, and that's not right.
Wow.
Different game, isn't it?
Imagine doing that to a young kid now.
Oh. Ray Bright's just called him and absolutely slammed him.
Well, he turned that around pretty quick, I would have thought.
Yeah, he did. Well, within 18 months, he was about to play for Australia, and he heads over to the West Indies. You reckon those claims are extraordinary? He talks about his debut playing for Australia against the West Indies, facing Malcolm Marshall, Michael Holding,
Ambrose,
Joel Garner, no, it was before, and Andy Roberts were the bowling attack there.
Some big boys there.
Some big, quick boys. So Dino wasn't expecting to play because he wasn't named in the side, and Dino was really, really crook at the time.
I was rooming with Jeff Lawson, not the nicest bloke to room with at the best of times, but New South Welshman, always had something in it for me. But he, I was crook as it all. I had a flu, a virus, I'm just absolute a mess, and I literally got kicked out of my room by Jeff Lawson, which is fair enough. He's playing a test match the next day, which, by the way, I'm not selected. Literally threw me a pillow and a blanket, and I had to sleep outside my room in the Trinidad Hilton Hotel.
In the corridor?
In the corridor, which I did.
Not knowing you're about to make
not
your
knowing
test
that
over.
When I got to the ground at Trinidad, where it's been raining a little bit, and Steve Smith, a different Steve Smith back there, a very good opening batsman, obviously saw the pitch, looked at the scoreboard and had Malcolm Marshall, Garner, Roberts Holding, and said, no, I'm not playing, and I got my first game. So I batted six.
So you reckon he had a look at what was going on and thought, that's not for me?
No doubt whatsoever.
Really?
Yeah.
Pulls no punches.
Oh, geez, I can't wait to download that.
Yeah, you can get it on iTunes now. Just type in the Howie Games or look in the sports section, sports and recreation. It'll be up there at number one. You shouldn't have too many problems finding it, I don't think.
No, I actually, because I got the podcast, so every time it comes out, it automatically downloads. So tune in.
Dennis Cometti, Darren Sammy, yourself, Gilly, Danny Green, Jack Jones, have you enjoyed the most?
Mine was pretty good.
Yours was good. I loved
Gilly's. Gilly's was really good because not many people would know how much fun Gilly is, and I think he really expresses that really well, and you got a lot out of him, which was brilliant on your behalf. Dennis Cometti was great because obviously growing up hearing his voice, and Danny Green I love too because when you know these guys, but then you get something out of them that people haven't heard before, which is great, and I think that's the beauty of listening to your podcast. And I don't know, I'm pumping you up too much there,
but it
actually is exactly what it's like. So I can't wait to hear Dino's, and I know I've done a lot of sports with Dino's where he lets a few things out that probably should be left unsaid sometimes.
He does that in the podcast.
And I'm pretty sure after what we've just heard in those little clips that he's hitting sixes at the MCG again.
So check it out on iTunes, the Howie Games, and nice that next week. It's MotoGP week, so we might get on a 5-time world champion by the name of Mick Doohan. That'd be nice too. Plenty to come next. We need to talk about Nick Kyrgios, your man.
Yeah, thanks, Howie. I just thought I'd listen in on Monday afternoon, to the rush hour, obviously with JB being away, and I just wanted to watch my mate just to see how he went along with
going
Billy.
Going well, I thought.
And it was going very well. Yeah. Up until you mentioned something that was probably right at the time. You were talking about Nick Kyrgios and how he's turned over a new leaf.
Billy, it is about time, I think, after he won in Shanghai.
Oh, no.
Oh, we've had a bit of a technical issue.
That's how outlandish the speech was.
Shower on Triple M, Mark Howden, Bill Brownless. Bill, Nick Kyrgios had a big win at the Japan Open. He's off to Shanghai. I reckon he's turned the corner, Bill, and it is about time the Australian public jumped on board and showed this man support, because I think Nick Kyrgios has turned over a new leaf, Bill.
I think you made a big mistake there, Howie, because the next day he absolutely embarrassed everyone and yourself.
Well, you know that I like the positives in people. I've always said I like to be positive and we like this to be a positive show. Fair to say I went 24 hours too early.
Should have held off on that just to the end of the week.
I should have just given it maybe a couple more days. I was that enthused by his win in Japan, and he played well, and he spoke in Japanese and congratulated the crowd, and I thought we're ready to embrace this man.
Yeah, and I was sort of with you, and we're not the only people. So we're not the only people to go out and stick up for Nick Kyrgios, because there's been a few champions of the tennis game coming out in support of him.
Yeah, after the incident. Andy Murray came out and basically said that, quote, whether a fine is the best way to discipline young players, I don't know. I don't know if this stops it happening again. I'm not convinced. We need to look after these guys, give them a cuddle, put our arm around them. If you're somehow on another planet, Nick Kyrgios was playing in the Shanghai Open. At one stage, rolled out what could only be described as a six-year-old serve. On match point, walked away with the ball still coming back towards him. And then he walked into the press room in his sort of manner, where he just sort of oozes, I don't care attitude would be the best way of describing it. This is what Nick had to say after I pumped him up.
It's your choice. You want to buy a ticket, come watch me. You know what? I'm unpredictable. It's your choice. I don't know anything. Physically tired, mentally tired, and I guess, you know, that's what I'm trying to work on, being able to be consistent every week, and I guess that's what's holding me back, you know. I just took the easy way out tonight.
And he did follow that up with a press conference. He followed up with a tweet saying sorry, because he's obviously thought about it, and his management are going, hey, you need to get on the front foot here. And I'm with Andy Murray. Coming from someone that got in a bit of trouble playing footy, I got fined. I never got suspended, and it didn't bother me at all. I just paid the fine and went on and didn't learn from the mistake.
So you don't think about it with a fine?
No, don't think about it. If I had been suspended or wasn't able to do something I loved, I probably would have done things and learn a lot quicker than what I did. And I think with Kyrgios, suspend him from a Australian Open, so you're not playing. You're banned. And I bet you he'd change his ways pretty quick.
Well, you're right, because tennis traditionally only takes a very sort of wet lettuce leaf approach, don't they? I remember McEnroe was disqualified from an Australian Open match. I don't remember anyone being disqualified in a Grand Slam. I'm sure it's happened. Novak Djokovic, he wasn't exactly in support of Nick Kyrgios during the week.
He's obviously has life lessons to learn, and he's still relatively young, so hopefully that's going to happen. I share the opinion of many players and many people in the tennis world that he's one of the greatest talents that the game has seen lately, and he's got a huge potential, huge game.
And the Joker has a ability to blow up sometimes, but he's a world number one. If I was Nick Kyrgios and I was his camp and I was his mentor, I'd say go grab Roger Federer and have a little chat with him.
Who was a loose cannon when he started off.
Who was a loose cannon, smashing rackets, throwing, abusing ball boys, abusing umpires.
But who
early
is,
days.
Who is Nick Kyrgios' mentor? I think that's
he's got Leighton Hewitt in his corner now, which is great.
Absolutely fantastic.
And he's done a really good job so far, and he's done a lot with Bernard Tomic, which is great. We haven't heard much of Bernard Tomic, which is probably a good thing, because he's actually putting his racket and to good use and playing some good tennis. But Roger Federer went down that path, and he changed very quickly. I don't know who got in his corner. But he grew up, he grew 20 years in like a 6-month period.
What we will be doing though is when Nick Kyrgios comes out this summer and everyone's trying to get an interview
with
him.
Love him.
Well, we'll be playing that little bit of audio of me pumping him up and sending it straight to his management, and we'll be the first ones to have a chat with the man, Fabi.
Yeah, we will. We do like to pop people, but when, like, I always pop the Biebs, and when Biebs is in town, I can't wait to interview him.
Greg Rusk joins us next on the Dead Set Legends. Oh, I might have got it wrong on Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends podcast brought to you by King Size Laundry at Harvey Norman. With all the king size capacity models from all the big brands. Visit online or in store.